Father, we do praise you and we thank you again today that the greater one lives within us. And all of our natural inabilities and all our natural inefficiencies, thank God, through the supernatural power and leadership of the Holy Spirit, the one that dwells within us and lives big within us and can lead us into areas that we wouldn't even know exist if it were not for the sweet name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and the greater one that lives in us. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing just happens. The world's idea of coincidence and luck doesn't exist. The spiritual realm is far more highly regulated by spiritual law than anybody really has any idea that it is. And so, thank you, Lord. I want you to look with me in Colossians chapter 1 and open your Bibles to that. And then look at the 73rd Psalm. Psalm 73. Look at the third verse. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now look at the 12th verse. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Do you see that? These are the ungodly that prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now look at Proverbs chapter 10 and we'll look at the 22nd verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, the wicked prospering in the world and increasing in riches are gathering it in sorrow. Now that's the problem with it. You got two different kingdoms here. Both of them are functioning in the same environment. But one of them is the kingdom of darkness and the other one is the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Now, that word sorrow is the Hebrew word for toil. Toiling. You remember when Peter told Jesus, we toiled all night long and caught nothing? Well, when Jesus got in the boat, in the daytime, with the blessing of the Lord functioning, and when he spoke, all the fish in the Galilee came to see him. They ran from the toiling. But see, now these were Hebrews. These were Jews. And it's in the in the Torah. It's there. But they were not understanding, nor were they being taught the blessing. They were being taught the curse of the law. And they, like everybody else, they working for a living. I mean, they toiling for a living. When all the time, Old Testament and New says, the just shall live by faith. Oh, Brother Copeland, we can quit work. No, he don't work, don't eat. That scripture, just as much as by his stripes you are healed. You don't work, you don't eat. But here again, what's the motive behind your working? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Or are you toiling, are you working, not toiling, I used the wrong word, forgive me. Are you working with your hands in order to have to give?
Well, Brother Cooper, we got to have, you know, we got to have food on the table and a baby got to have some shoes. Yeah, and you working two jobs and ain't making it.
Now, when we step out of the natural laws and get over into the spiritual laws that govern prosperity, the word prosper means to excel to the highest place in something desired. Now, where people get in trouble is desiring the wrong thing. That's where the mess comes in. Well, that's another teaching. But now I want you to see this. And let's go to the 112th Psalm. And we just need to settle this before we get into what we're looking at this afternoon, because you're going to really enjoy what we're doing here this afternoon. And the 112th Psalm. Now, what do we find out? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. I want you, if you haven't done it already, underline that in Proverbs 10:22. The word maketh. It maketh. Didn't say it provides, it makes. The blessing of the Lord. It makes it. It maketh rich. Now, what does the world say? I make money. I make deals. I do it. I make. How? I work. I make a living. Well, there's your problem right there. You trying to do it. Yeah. Well, after all, Brother Copeland, I'm the provider of this house. That's the reason they in trouble, Jack. Amen. Jesus is the provider.
Amen.
And where, when we begin to flow, when He becomes your source and you don't do anything without inquiring of Him. Well, I don't really know whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to do or not. Well, the first thing you need to do is start finding out what you're supposed to do, because He's got a plan for you. And if you find out where that plan is and what that plan is and go get in it, that's where the grace is. That's where the blessings are. That's where it'll flow.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Now, I want you to see this now. In the 112th Psalm, are you there?
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed. Say blessed.
Blessed.
So this is indicating the blessing of the Lord is working in this man's life here. Blessed is the man that feareth or has honor and great respect for the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. This is a man that's not running from the command of God. He's looking for God to tell him what to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I learned a long, long time ago that put the pressure on God to tell me to do something I can't do. Don't be telling me to do something I can already do. I ain't gonna get anything out of that. There's not any reward in that. And people are doing it the other way around. Oh, Lord, no, no, I can't. Lord, I can't do that. I know it. He knows it. Don't you think He already knows? Yeah. What his attempt is to get you to agree to it, because the moment he told you or commanded you to do something, right then you were authorized to do it. When you said, yes, sir, you're empowered to do it. See, he authorized Peter the minute he said, come on, get your nets, plural, get your nets. And he didn't. He got his net.
Yes.
And it was a rotten net. I didn't realize that until I heard him. I was in a service one night. I'd gone with Jerry Savelle down in South Texas. He was preaching down there tonight. So I just flew down there with him and to hear Jerry preach. And the pastor, who's a good friend of Jerry and mine both, he was talking about the net breaking, boat sinking load of fish. Well, I mean, that's the way I'd always looked at that. And we're sitting there, and the word of the Lord came to me. He said, that was a rotten net. And when he said it to me, I jerked. I wasn't expecting to hear that. And I said, what? He said, that was a rotten net. Go back there and read that. Yes. Well, when I got back over there and read it, it says that they were washing their nets while Jesus was preaching. They weren't paying all that much attention. They were washing their nets. Now, they fished all night long, didn't catch anything. He does not want to get all those nets nasty again and spend another hours cleaning those nets and not catch anything again. That's what's going through his mind. He's thinking like a fisherman. Jesus is thinking like the high priest and administrator. He's thinking like Melchizedek. The blessing of the Lord. See? He said, get your nets. So he got one that it ain't going to hurt anything, because it's old anyway. And he threw it out there and it came all to pieces. Now, that's not the only time. Why didn't the nets break on any of the other that brought their nets out there? None of theirs broke. That's what the Lord pointed out to me that night. And he said, now, I want you to go to Gospel of John. And he said, check that out over there. When they caught so many fish, they couldn't move the nets. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to notice that the nets didn't break. He said, the only time a net broke was when Peter disobeyed me and threw a rotten net out there and it came all to pieces under that load. That's the reason he's a Jew. He knows better than to do that. He knows better than to offer a rabbi a blemished net. He knew better than that. And besides that, Jesus just the night before healed his wife, his mother-in-law, of a deadly fever. He knew this man. He didn't know he's the Son of God. That came later. But here he is. He's functioning in natural law. He's thinking like a fisherman. He knows the fish ain't gonna do nothing in the middle of the day on the Galilee. It's too clear. He's thinking like a fisherman. Yeah. Jesus is thinking like God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when they filled all that boat up, it put Peter under such conviction. This huge catch put it, because he didn't catch a fish. All the fish in the Galilee up around his boat, he didn't get one. Everybody else got to catch them. And he fell to his knees. Jesus' knees. Peter fell to Jesus' knees. Couldn't get to his feet. He's knee deep in fish. And said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He knew what he'd done. And can't you just see Jesus standing there with a smile on his face? He said, don't worry about it, boy. One of these days you're going to be a fisher of men. Amen. Hallelujah. But see, there were spiritual laws governing all of that that day. Now, I want you to see what this man, blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. Whatever God tells me to do, sir. Yes, sir. Because, man, I'm telling you, this is where it all is in obeying God. If I sought the Lord and found out that I was supposed to be completely on the other side of this world, when I found that out and I was sure that this is what is God telling me, you know what I'd do the next day? I'd quit everything I'm doing. I'd pack up everything I've got and I'd head that direction. I don't care if I didn't have enough money to get out of city limits. I'm going far as I can go, and he'll get me the rest of the way. Obedience is greater than sacrifice.
Amen.
I mean this with all my heart. And notice, his seed shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright, say it out loud, shall be blessed. Now, what blessing are we talking about here? The blessing of Abraham. Let me track it for you. God blessed Adam, saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we know what he did with it. He threw it away. Well, then you come to Noah. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said the very same words to him. It's the same blessing. And here's something very, very important here. You will find English translations of the book of Genesis that was translated by Jewish scholars. And that will say in English, where ours says, in the beginning, God, there it says, in the beginning, the blessed one. Mm. Now, that tells you something.
Yeah.
It was the blessing of the Lord that created this whole thing. Yeah. You ought to get excited. The same blessing's on the inside of you right now. Oh, my. And then we see it on Noah and his sons. His sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now, Ham and Japheth did the same thing with it Adam did with it. They just blew it off. But Shem stayed with it. And Shem, the great-grandfather of Adam. See, these folks live a long time. And in fact, if you just check it out, Abraham could go back just several generations to Adam. Because it'll last, man, these people live a long time, I'm telling you. So now, but that we're still alive, see. You're still talking. You're way down the road here, but you're still talking to them because they're 700-800 years old, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's kind of loose translation, you understand? Shem became Melchizedek. Now, this is important because people read the description of Melchizedek. And a lot of people think it was Jesus because it said he had no father and he had no mother. Well, no. No. Actually, if you get in there, you need to study. You know that?
Amen.
Get in there and do some studying. It's talking about he had no lineage pedigree that qualified him to be a priest. That's where that came from. But you can check out your Jewish history and so forth. It'll tell you in the Chumash that Shem was Melchizedek. Melchizedek
was a title, King of Salem. Anyway, here comes Shem, and he comes with covenant bread and wine. Because what he's about to say, without covenant being involved, there ain't no way you can believe it. It's too big. Blessed. Same blessing that was said to Adam. Same blessing that was spoken to Noah and his son. He's got bread and wine. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Of is indicating covenant. Abram of God. We do the same thing today. Gloria and I are in covenant with one another. Just celebrated our 54th year of covenant with one another. The 13th day of this month. Hallelujah. I love that woman. Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, she's something, I'm telling you. But she is covenant partners become in union with one another. Abram of God. So Gloria of Kenneth. See, she took my name. Yes. When we went into covenant. And we became one. So now that's what Melchizedek or Shem was saying to Abram. Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Of course God's possessor of heaven and earth, but now because of his covenant, Abram is possessor of heaven and earth. That should have excited you more than that. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. This man blessed a whole generation. Hallelujah. See, God told Abraham, he said, I'm blessing you to make you a blessing. And then he said something else that is actually missed. It's so familiar and we've read it a lot of times and not really thought it through. When God said, he said, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. And the Lord brought my attention to that one day. And he said, you're not thinking that through. Spend some more time on this. And so I got thinking, I said, yeah, okay. What are you saying to me? He said, I want you to notice anybody that would, now God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'll bless those that bless you. Well, I kept reading that over again. And finally he said, Kenneth, now look. He said, I'm making you a blessing. And he said, now anyone that will be a partner with you, I will bless them because they're helping you be a blessing. Then I saw it. I saw what he was saying to Abraham. He said, now boy, now listen to me. He said, I'm blessing you. He says, I'm gonna make you rich. I'm gonna bless you coming in and going out. I'm gonna bless your cattle. I'm gonna bless your store. I'm gonna bless you. In order for you to be a blessing. Lindsay touched on this today. This is not just so we just become fat cats. This is so we bring that blessing wherever we go and whatever we're a part of.
That's right. Amen.
That's the reason people do not understand why the plan of God will send you into such dire places. He didn't send you in there where you could go broke and poor, be poor. No, he sent you in there to stop that famine, to stop the problems that are in that area, because you have the blessing of the Lord on you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's his plan. Well, now here, and then he took me back in there again. He said, now those that will join, he said, here's what I'm saying to Abraham. Those that will join you in blessing, I will bless them the same as I blessed you, because the same blessing comes on them. This is not blessings. This is the blessing. Number of years ago, and I'm suggesting you do the same thing. Then a number of the years ago, the Lord said, to renew your mind, that we're talking about the blessing. The blessing on Adam. Then the blessing on Noah. The blessing on Abraham. The blessing on Isaac. The blessing on Jacob. The blessing on Jesus. The blessing on you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I said it's the same blessing, and it's the same measure of it, because it's Jesus' blessing. He said, from now on, when you write it, or at any time, in your partner letter, whatever you do, he said, capitalize the word bless or blessed or blessing. He said, write it all in caps. And so I started doing that. And it wasn't long until it really renewed my mind that this is the blessing. And blessings come out of the blessing. Now, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but this is the power to get wealth that the Spirit of God talked about in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Now, go back here to Psalm 112. I want you to see this next verse. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now look, wealth, I don't think you can turn that into anything but money. Huh? It's otherwise spelled R-I-C-H.
Yeah.
In fact, R-I-C-H is right behind it.
Yeah.
Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Notice shall be is in italics. That means the translator put it in there at their privilege. Well, we can take it out.
Yes.
Look at it. Wealth and riches in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Here's a man that has a house. It's full of wealth and riches, and his righteousness is still intact. So this is not the wicked gathering up riches. This is the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. Ha, 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 on the devil and his lie. That broke that down, didn't it? Well, when you begin to realize this is living in you right now.
Yes.
And faith will bring it into action and release it. But it won't release it when you're talking something else. I saw this. Oh, my goodness. 1967, Gloria and I, as I told you this morning, I mean, we so broke we couldn't pay attention. But I saw it. I saw what I'm talking to you about right now. And I got it from Galatians 3:13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's all the rest of us. Glory to God. Now somebody said, yeah, but this is just for the Jews. Well, no. In the first place, they weren't called Jews until Israel was split and they began to be called Judah. Huh? You remember that? Well, Jew is short for Judah. And it stuck. No, they were, and then when they came back together, here's Israel. Well, who was Israel? Who's
Jacob.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Well, the tribe of Judah didn't have any more blessing than the tribe of Benjamin, didn't have any more blessing than any of the other tribes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. No, this is the blessing of Abraham. Come on. This is not the Jews' blessing. This is not Israel's blessing. This is the blessing of Abraham, and they all came out of him. That the blessing was on him. And if you've got time sometime, you ought to read Galatians chapter 3, the 29th verse. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My Lord. And I saw that back there. I saw it back there 49 years ago while I was a student there at ORU. And glory, and I was so broke, dear Lord. And I saw that. I thought, well, and so that the promise of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, we might receive the promise of the Spirit, or what the Spirit promised, what the Spirit covenanted to Abraham to do. And I went back there and started reading all that he did for Abraham. And he made him very rich in silver and gold and cattle and wool. Whoa. And the more I read, the more man I do. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is looking good to a poor boy. I'm telling you. I was already so excited I could hardly stand myself. And I got over there and got into that. I got so shouting happy. I come running in the room. I don't even remember now what she was doing. She's doing something. I come running in there and I had my Bible in front of me and I read Galatians 3:13 and then the 29th verse. And then I started reading stuff that happened to Abraham. I said, Gloria, we're rich now. We are rich now. Do you hear me? The blessing of the Lord is on us. We are rich now, girl. This ain't nothing but a matter of time. You learn to put that blessing to work. But now wait, you can't put the blessing to work unless you're using the faith of Abraham. Can't use Thomas's faith and get it.
Come on, say that.
Amen.
Amen.
Hang on a minute. Could be still listening, but I make it. They will all bomb, but I make it. Yes, man, and Nicky, think it. Ah, right, and can roast it. Okay. Yeah, I see that. All right. Glory to God. Okay, let's go back over here. I was wanting to run in another direction, and I got held up. I told you to turn to the book of Colossians. And all that other was my introduction, all right? This I got carried away there. Glory to God. I seem to do that a lot. The book of Colossians. But we'll get back into that flow. Colossians, the first chapter, the 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Talking about Jesus, Lord Advocate General of the Church. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're joint heirs with him. Amen. all everything in this earth. It wasn't created for the devil and his crowd. He don't own nothing. Anything he's got, he stole it.
Amen.
Jesus left him a zero. Amen.
Amen.
Nada. Nunca, nothing. Zero. El diablo no es nada. All this equipment, all this technology in the heart and mind of God, in the heart and mind of Jesus, in the heart and mind of the Holy Spirit, the greater one that dwells within us, was created for one purpose only, and that's for Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the preaching of the Word of God throughout this earth. Hallelujah. That's what it was created for. And most of the church bought a lie that we ain't supposed to have anything. And somebody will come up with this, well, we don't want any of this world's goods. It's not their goods. And you know, ain't that funny? They call it goods. Did you ever see a, you ever see a dry bad store? No, it's dry goods store. Hallelujah. But that is a lie of the devil in order to corner what he had lost when Jesus totally defeated him and wiped him out. In order for him to control it, he doesn't have any way to control it unless somebody gives it to him. All right, now, here it is again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. The first new, this ministry's had two new airplanes in its history. The first one was a new twin engine Cessna. See, for years, I didn't know they made new airplanes. I didn't know they made new anything. New was just something somebody else had. And finally the Lord just kept pressing me in that direction. And then the second one was the first new jet that we had. And it was the little Citation II, which later when we sewed that airplane, the breakthrough came. And then we got the Citation 10, hallelujah, third new airplane. But now, I was so excited over that little Citation 2 Bravo. The first time I flew it, on the first trip I flew it, and it was from Fort Worth down to Austin, and I got out of that airplane, and I'm walking back across the tarmac, and I just couldn't take it. I turned around, I looked at that airplane, and I just started dancing. Oh, all over the tarmac. Whoa, glory to God. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited I could hardly say. I just got so thrilled. And then later, I was telling that to some friends, to Gloria and some of our friends one evening at dinner, no, just a few weeks after that. I was telling them about it, and I got excited about it again. But while I was talking about it there, I heard the word of the Lord. Strong. He said, Kenneth, that's the only new airplane I have. That hurt me. I mean, that hurt me. If anybody on earth ought to have everything new, like Peter said, his temple should be magnificent. And we worried about whether we're going to spend too much money on the doorknobs. Every doorknob in there ought to be solid gold and it wouldn't be good enough. Glory to God forevermore. And I said, Lord, why is it that all of this went to the world. You gave the world the technology on these things. He said, well, I needed this technology. He wasn't just talking about airplanes. He's talking about electronics. He's talking about all of these things that were created for and by him.
Yes. Yes.
See, there ain't nobody smart enough to do that stuff. You got to have stuff from God.
Yes.
We ain't nothing but a bunch of dumb rocks if the Spirit of God doesn't reveal something. Oh, yeah. And I said, he said, I needed the technology now. But he said, I couldn't get any of my people to come get them. So he said, I had to turn to the world because they would do it. And he said, I used them. But he said, all that's changing now. Some of the most brilliant men on this planet. I visited with one of them yesterday that I've known for years. In fact, I was privileged to lead him to the Lord years ago. And this guy, I'm telling you, he just knows things. And God just gives him all just cool things. And he's just come up with this deal here in the last 5 years. I mean, companies from all over the world trying to beat his door down. And he won't pay much attention to them. He said, nah, all y'all wants the money. He said, what I'm looking at is something here that'll save tens of thousands of lives. And he said, that's what I'm interested in. He said, God's interested in people.
Amen.
Amen. Well, see, that's what God's looking for all the time. Because the Spirit of God, if you'll let him, he'll get stuff through to you.
Yeah.
These are word
Amen.
Promises.
Amen.
These are word promises.
Yes, yes.
But you can't go around talking poor mouth all the time,
Amen.
Living from paycheck to paycheck, instead of walking by faith in these laws and principles. Anyway, all right. Let's go to Psalm 50. No, let's start at the beginning. Let's go to Genesis. Now, some of these things Courtney brought up earlier this morning, and I laughed at her, called her over. I said, come on, girl, you're stealing my scriptures. No, she's flowing right down the same. She didn't ask me anything about it. She's just flowing right down the same flow. In the 26th verse, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now, that's confusing translation the way it was translated in English. And if you go look at a Hebrew translation, it says, and God said, man be in our image. Because see, this was not when he decided to make a man. No, these are the words with which Adam was created. I'm talking about the spirit man. God made his body out of dirt. But now here's the spirit man, and I want you to see that. Man be in our image, after our likeness. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God created all of it. And then put his man in it, and then blessed him with the same power with which he created it for him to administrate it with the same tools, his faith and the words of his mouth, instead of toiling for a living. That was the first curse that came, was toiling, working by the sweat of his brow. Trying to make a living. But we've been redeemed from the curse.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Now then, let's look at Psalm chapter 50. Now, as we go through this, remember, we're seeing the fact that God created the heaven and the earth for his man, Adam. Say that, his man, Adam. Say it again, I want it to mark your thinking. His man, Adam. All right, Psalm 50. And look at the 10th through the 12th verses. And this is one that that Courtney read this morning. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness therein. But now it doesn't stop there. I want you to turn with me to Haggai chapter 2. And that's 1,000, page 1,117 in my Bible. That's back there where the pages kind of stick together. And Haggai chapter 2, and let's look at the 8th verse. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. We are the latter house. Now, Psalm 115. The 115th Psalm, verses 14, 15, and 16. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed, say it, blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. Now, Adam owned all of this. Adam, he created it all for his man, Adam. But we know what Adam did. He committed high treason. He had the legal right to do it because it belonged to him, but he did not have the moral right to do it. Now, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he said to Jesus, he showed him all the kingdoms, and he said, bow down before me and I'll give these to you, for they have been given to me and I give them to whomsoever I will. Now somebody said, well, the devil was lying. No, if he'd been lying, Jesus would have known it wouldn't have been any temptation. I mean, you come up to me and tell me you're going to give me the whole south side of Chicago, I laugh at you, man. You don't own the whole south side of Chicago. Amen. No, but what happened? Oh, turn with me over to the book of Hebrews right quick. And here I go again. I jumped out ahead of myself. Lord, forgive me, but I... In the second chapter of Hebrews, verse 9, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. All right, now look at the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy the word destroy, translated from the word that means to totally, completely incapacitate and paralyze. Totally incapacitate and paralyze him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He stripped the devil of everything he had. He stripped him. He left him completely zero. He doesn't have the power of death anymore.
Amen.
See, he got all the power he had from Adam. He was operating in this world as the God of this world. And he got that power from Adam and began to use it in death to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's when the curse came on the earth. It had been blessed, and all of a sudden it's cursed. So now then, Jesus defeated him. And we'll talk about that some more. I want to go back over here now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he took from the devil, Jesus took everything that he had. 1 Corinthians 10. At the 26th verse, for the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. And now look at the 28th verse, says it again. If any man say among you, this is offered in sacrifice, I lead not the sake of the, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now that doesn't tell the whole story. That's not the end of it. Back to the book of Hebrews again. I told you I was jumping out ahead of myself. Chapter 1. Go ahead and look up the 8th chapter of Romans, because we want to bounce back over there. Look up Romans 8. And hold your place there and look at me. Look with me at Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry time and in different manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He has appointed, whom he appointed heir of all things. You remember Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth.
Yes.
Now, I put your thinker on. What is Jesus called? Now, you forgot what I told you to remember. He made all this for his man,
Adam.
Jesus is called the last Adam. He's the second and the last Adam. Jesus came an exact replica of Adam. Adam was an exact replica of God. And Jesus, an exact replica of God, exactly like Adam before he fell. Only this one didn't fall. He stood the temptation. He stood every temptation. He stood up against it and said, it is written. It is written, it is written. And then he took our sins in his own body on the tree. He was made to be sin for us. And he was made a curse for us. And he went into hell. And he suffered more suffering there than any man before or after. He bore all sin. He bore all the curse. He bore all sickness, all disease, all poverty. He bore it.
Yes.
Suffered and died with it. Separated from God. Ah, but the scripture said he was manifested in the flesh. That's when he was born of Mary. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He had always been. But he became the Word became flesh. The word was the seed in little Mary's womb. Amen. But now it said he was manifested in the flesh, but he was made alive in the spirit. That was in hell itself. After 3 days and nights suffering, every demon of hell piled in on him to annihilate him and destroy him. They finally had him, they thought. But had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And we're here right there. We're here right there. Oh, glory be to God. Romans 8, 17. 16th verse. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Now, wait a minute. He's appointed him heir of all things. We're joint heirs. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all the way up through the Old Testament, all the gold, all the silver, cattle on 1,000 hills, and all is under the hills. Belong to God. Now Adam was ruling it with a ruthless, stolen, treasonary act by Adam. Yes. It still belonged to God. But he was not running it. The devil was. Yeah. Ah, oh, but something happened. I said, something happened.
Oh, yes.
Go back over there to Hebrews chapter 1 again. This is where I tell you, you get into this, you're gonna make a track out of your Bible, and your Bible wound up looking like that. You'd be David Barton, we were doing television one day, he said, where do you get a white highlighter? It took me a minute. There's just these little pieces of white in there because I wound up under the... Gloria said, he only highlights the good stuff. But here it is. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. What day? The day he raised him out of hell. And these are the words that got Jesus born again and destroyed the devil's kingdom right there in this first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And again, oh, can you hear it? Again. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. Again. He did it the first time in the Garden of Eden. Again. 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 Now there's a firstborn. Again. Again. And that original Adam was created. So was this one.
Come on.
He was made to be sin, and these words recreated his human spirit just like it did yours. He was the firstborn from the dead, no longer called the only begotten Son of God. My God, I've preached myself so happy I can hardly stand it. Glory to God. Again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. These are the words. You remember when he spoke to Adam and said, man, be. Here he's speaking to Jesus in hell. It's happening right here. We're reading it.
Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
And you, Lord, you notice that's capital L, little capital O-R-D. That stands for Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name of God. In the book of Philippians, it says he exalted him. And the Philippians English text says, and gave him a name. No, he gave him his name. The name. Does that excite you?
Oh, yeah.
He gave him his name, which is above every name. And right there is where he did it. He called him Lord with the same unspeakable name that was his. Hallelujah. Now remember this. He's a man. A man. Some of you get that about midnight and you won't be able to sleep for 3 days. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They'll perish, but you remain, and all shall wax old as doth a garment, and a vesture shall you fold up, and they'll be changed, but you are the same, and your years shall not. And right in the middle of hell itself, every demon piled up on top of him. The scripture says in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, his visage and form was so it was so marred, so deformed, that it no longer resembled a man. That began before he ever came down off of the cross. That began to work on him. And that's what that centurion saw. Now he's seen every kind of crucifixion there's ever been. That was his job. He's standing there watching this. And all of a sudden he says, my God, he ain't never seen this happen to anybody else before. His body began to do things that nobody else has ever done. And he's saying, nobody could have that happen to him unless God did it to him. Because everybody else was saying, you know, he said he's the Son of God, and so God's doing this. But no, that says that in Isaiah 53. We esteemed him stricken and smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. My God. And then as he went into hell, he suffered like no human could ever suffer. Ripped and torn. But these words, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, God, let all the angels worship him. Well, don't you realize that the devil is a fallen angel? And so is a whole bunch of that other crowd that's in there making him suffer and trying to annihilate him. And all of a sudden those words hit that emaciated, twisted, lifeless looking spirit. And all of a sudden strength began to flow into that. It's the same new birth that flowed into you when you made him Lord of your life. But I want you to know when it happened in the bowels of this earth, he began to rise up. He began to come to full stature. Wow! Man, I mean demons and devils bouncing off the walls of hell, screaming and hollering and crying.
And he said, all power has been given unto me, and I've got the keys of death and hell. Biggest jailbreak in history. Amen. And he led captivity captive. The upper region of Sheol called paradise in Abraham's bosom. No man had gone up to heaven except Enoch and Elijah. But they didn't die. No man had died and gone up to heaven. Jesus said that when he was in here. Heaven had been polluted by the fall of Adam, all the way up to, but not including, the throne of God. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews that the heavenly utensils of worship had to be cleansed with the blood of Jesus. Well, all of those Old Testament saints listed there in the book of Hebrews, and all of those that the world's not worthy of them, where were they? They were in a place called paradise, the upper region of Sheol. It was a spiritual transfer of heaven as in the center of the earth. Don't let the boundaries throw you up. I was praying about this one day, and the Lord was showing me these things, and I began to see it in the spirit. And he said, Kenneth, don't let the physical boundaries mess you up, son. He said, in the spirit, I could put the state of Texas in a clothes closet. Right. Yeah. So, you know, you could just open the door to your closet and step over into the spirit, and there's the whole, the whole state of Texas in the spirit, see. But it's not physically in that closet. You're stepped into the spirit. You stepped out of the natural realm, even though your body's still standing there in that closet. Do you see what I'm talking about there? Well, that's what paradise was in the upper region of Sheol. Now, when the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. See, Abraham, they could see down in there. Now, Abraham was talking to the rich man through a portal. Because nobody in heaven is going to go, or in paradise, is going to go spend time watching all them people suffer in hell. No, they're free from that. Unless there's something there you need to see. And Abraham is talking with the rich man, and the rich man suddenly got all evangelistic on him and said, go talk to my brothers. He said, no, they got the word of God. They got Moses and the prophets. They won't believe that. They won't believe somebody raised from the dead. Amen. Amen. And he said, son, remember. Now, this is an interesting thought. This man is in hell. His body is in a hole in the ground upstairs. Yet his memory is intact. Come on, come on. His memory is in his spirit. In his soul. Mind, will, emotions. And his memory is in there. Your soul uses your brain. Your brain catalogs things and transfers it to your soul, your mind. But you can have brain damage or brain problems of some kind and start losing your memory. Don't take that as something wrong with your mind, dear Lord. Amen. No, get on the word of God and get your brain healed. Yes. That devil comes trying to mess with my thinking and trying to tell me, oh yeah, you old man, you know, you're supposed to be losing your thinking and all that. Well, I thank God I met Caroline Leaf. Come on. The brain is the only human organ that is supposed to get better with age. It's a lie from hell, plus what people do to their brains. The brain was not wired for doubt, unbelief, meanness, and unforgiveness. No, it was wired for the love of God. It was wired for the word of God. Get in the word. Stop breaking the law of love. Start living by faith. You get your brain back.
I get the Word of God in it. You can get your brain back. Amen. I didn't intend to get off on that, but I did, didn't I? Glory to God. Now, oh, we're just right there. We're just right there, what I wanted you to see. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray in the Spirit here. I don't want to just jump out and start running through this because it's time to close and I want to get into the right place. Yes, sir. Let's look at Galatians 3, 8 through 13. Galatians chapter 3. Now, you remember that I said a moment ago, you can't get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. Galatians chapter 3. And let's begin reading with, well, let's back up and read verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached. The scripture preached. In the beginning of the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God, through the scripture, is preaching to Abraham. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as under the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Why? To walk in the blessing of Abraham, which was the blessing of Adam, which was the blessing of Noah, which was the blessing of Jesus. Everything Jesus did in his earthly ministry was the blessing of Abraham in operation. Yes. He did nothing as the Son of God except go to the cross. He called himself a prophet of God. He said no prophet is honored in his own hometown. Amen. And he said, I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. Now, isn't that amazing how many people think that, well, he, you know, he's the Son of God and he just went about healing and doing, you know, whatever he wanted to do to prove that he was the Son of God. There's not anything in the whole world any further from the truth than that. Had nothing to do with proving anything. No, he was doing what God's will for him to do. He said, I came to do the will of him that sent me. Acts 10:38, how God anointed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That's healing power. That is the power to prosper. That's the same power that made those little loaves and biscuits feed 20, 25, 30,000 people. That's the power of increase, the blessing of the Lord.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
He blessed it and then he broke it. What did he say? We know exactly what he said. Be fruitful, multiply. That's what they needed was multiply.
Yeah, that's right.
Not some goofy little cafeteria prayer.
Like one fellow told me one time, he said, you know, Brother Copeland, he said, when you pray out in public, he said, you can hold your nose like that. And while you're praying, other people look at that boy must sure have a headache. I thought that's probably the stupidest thing I've heard in my life. No, 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 no. I don't say grace. I pray. And I don't pray for Jesus' sake. I pray in the name of Jesus for my sake.
Amen. That's right.
Because I got to eat this stuff.
That's right.
And that's the reason I'm praying over it.
Amen.
And my food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Some of it you need to be praying in the spirit about it. Well, the scripture said, verily you bless well in the spirit, in other tongues. So, he's using the blessing of the Lord. He, glory to God. My. Let's get back here where we were. The just shall live by faith. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We might receive what the Spirit promised Abraham. And verse 29, and if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs. Heirs. Heirs according to the promise. Heirs. You're a joint heir. Yes, we are stewards. Yes, but listen to me. We're no longer servants. In the old covenant, you couldn't be anything but a servant because you couldn't get born again. We're not servants, we're heirs. When you got born again, you were raised up with him and made to sit with him in heavenly places. Then nobody sits in the presence of God. Angels never sit in the presence of God, only family. Amen. Only family. We're joint heirs. Children of God. Made to sit with him on the throne of grace. My Lord. So now what does this do to us? We are stewards, yes. But not from a servant's standpoint. We are stewards from an owner standpoint. We own this thing.
Yes. Yes.
So what's happened? When Jesus became authority over both heaven and earth, all the angels and the Holy Ghost himself on the day of Pentecost came back into this environment. They had to leave when the devil took it over. That's the reason you saw Jacob's ladder where angels were going to and up and down in front. No, no. Not anymore, darling. Back to the book of Hebrews. I told you you're going to wear a track here. Chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all? Say all.
All.
Are they not all?
All.
Ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. Now let me throw you a little curveball here. That salvation, heirs of salvation, that's not the new birth.
That's right.
No, now listen to me. Heirs of salvation. They are to minister for us because we have inherited them and their saving strength and power to minister for us.
Yes.
It bears it out in the second chapter.
Yeah.
if we neglect such a salvation. Talking about the assignment of those angels and what they do. And there are prosperity angels. That that's their business to see to what belongs to you in the kingdom of God. Not what you can earn at the post office. I mean, that's fine. If God told you to go to work at the post office, that's fine. See, if God told you to take a minimum wage job, then you're an heir. You're an owner. What if a multi-billionaire and his sons, businesses all over the world, and daddy calls the boys in. He said, "Now, boys, now here's what I need you to do. I want you to go down to South America. And I want you to go to work in that company down there as a pipe fitter. And I to keep your eyes open, I want to know what's going on down there. I want to know what it's going to take to get that company back to prospering again." Now see, that's what he'll do with you. He'll send you on a mission trip. He'll send you somewhere so you take your blessing and go in there and break those demons that are in there and get the flow going again. We are owners here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then every night, call me and let me know what you need and I'll send it to you. Well, now can you just see some kid that's one-third owner in a $40 billion company, and he's saying, "Well, I don't know, Daddy. I don't think I can get by on a pipe fitter's pay."
Come on.
What's the matter with you, knothead?
Right.
You own the whole company.
Right.
But see, if that's the way people think because they don't know who they are, what they are, and what belongs to them.
That's right.
But in Christ Jesus, Scripture says we are no longer servants, but sons.
Yes.
Sons of God. What love has been bestowed upon us that he should call us the sons of God. But you do have to do it by faith. Abraham's faith. He considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but only being strong in faith, only what God had promised, strong in faith, fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he'd do. Fully persuaded. Now, he was not fully persuaded, and he messed around and got in trouble, just like you or I do, and God tells us, "Well, I want you to build this building over here in the church, and you find out it's going to cost you $4.5 million, and then you go to shopping banks to find out where you can borrow the money." Debt is under the curse as well as poverty. The threefold cord of the curse is death, which is spiritual death. The Bible doesn't talk about natural death anywhere in it. It talks about people being dead while they're alive. Spiritual death is being separated from God.
Amen.
Death, sickness, and poverty, the threefold cord of the curse. Actually, poverty and debt. Debt and poverty are in the same category. So, the threefold cord of redemption is salvation, healing, and prosperity. So we accept Jesus as our Savior, Jesus as our healer. And if you haven't done that, and I'm talking about just like you did when you got saved, you believed in your heart, he'd been raised from the dead, and you said, "Jesus, come into my heart." There needs to be a time when you go to him and say, "Hey, Jesus, I see from this that you are my healer, and I'm receiving you not only as my Savior, but as my healer."
Yes.
And I'm just as convinced that you're my healer and I'll never be sick again as I'm convinced you're my Savior and I'm not going to hell.
All right.
And then get in the Word and press for that.
Yes.
And number three, he is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's the administrator of the finances of the church. And before the foundation of the world, you were blessed beyond anything that your mind can conceive. First chapter of the book of Ephesians, blessed beyond measure. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. According to the power,
yes,
that worketh within you. The greater one, he is in there. That's what he's trying to get over to you and me right now. We're owners.
Yes.
You missed a place to shout right there. Now, depending on how the Lord continues with this, and I expect we'll get there tonight, you don't need to be praying about money anymore. And I'm going to show you how to drive this bus. Hallelujah. Because you don't need to be sitting back there anymore. You own the bus and all the line and everything. Glory to God. Amen. See, it's not God withholding from you. It's the devil. He's the one that's holding back on you. I talked this whole 2 hours this afternoon to give you this. Everything you could ever need and then some. I'm talking about not some little old paycheck to paycheck need. I'm talking about the big stuff. More than enough to accomplish everything God's called you to do, everything that your family needs, everything that your mission needs. Everything that you could ever need is already here.
Yes, sir.
It don't have to come from heaven. It's here right now. Yeah. Belongs to God. And you. Oh, you hooked in when you made Jesus Lord of your life. Now you got in on something other good. Amen. What is it Bill Winston always says? Something going to happen up in here. Glory to God. Woo. Amen. Yeah. Instead of saying, oh God, I don't know where I'm going to get it. I don't know what I'm going to get. Oh, shut up. And glory always say, get over it. Get a grip.
Yes.
I was talking to a bunch of troops one day and I told them what Gloria said. I said, she said, get over it.
Yes.
And one of those guys said, hey, Brother Copeland, I got it. I said, what? He said, get over it. Yeah.
Nice.
See, you need to sit in that throne area and look down on that problem and say, all right. Now they're saying, if I don't come up with whatever this is, $25,000, $50,000, $75,000, then they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Well, all right, let's just say they do. Then what? And all of a sudden it don't look as big as it used to look. You think, Jesus bigger than that.
Man, I'm.
Hallelujah! Yes.
Thank you, Lord. When that 12-man patrol went into the promised land and came back, two of them with a good report, and the other 10 blew it. No, we can't. No. They're giants over there. And we grasshoppers. It wasn't the giants that took them. It was the grasshoppers. Now, see, it never occurred to them that God might be already over there and already took down the giants before you got there. Because everything else was like he said it would be. Well, then 40 years later, Joshua takes over. And, you know, he had better sense at that time to send out 12. He's got him too. He made sure he had two faith guys go over there. Amen. But you remember what happened? Rahab. And the scripture keeps making a point of calling her Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. And just really gets kind of obnoxious about it. Just keep calling her Rahab the harlot. Everywhere you see her. Even in the book of Hebrews, you call Rahab the harlot. And she hid those two guys out. Now, listen to what she said. She said, "Where have you been? We heard about you at the Red Sea, and our hearts melted in us." Can you see what had happened? God had it fixed. They could have walked across that Jordan and never fired a shot. They could have walked in there. It would have been like Iraq where the people just surrender to anything that moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because God was already over there. It looks like they're going to come get and destroy everything you've got. But God has a plan. God already has that fixed if you will tie into Him. So they waited 40 years. And what happened to Rahab the harlot? She became Jesus' great, great grandmother. Yeah. Yes, she did. See, it is people that had a hard time with the harlot part. God didn't have a hard time with that. He had a fix for that.
Yeah.
And she wasn't Rahab the harlot anymore. She is Rahab the very promised, very prosperous woman. Big in the sight of God and big in Israel. And she made chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. Hey, come on. I've preached long enough. Glory to God.